First Samuel, the third chapter. And for the purposes of contextual clarity, I want to begin at the first verse. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called the third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called Samuel as before. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Again, verse 8. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. For the next few moments, as long as the Holy Spirit shall move and inspire us, we're going to talk to you from this thought. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? Undoubtedly, as we are fresh from celebrating what is widely accepted in our day as Christmas Day, the way I have entitled today's message immediately brings a definite ring of familiarity to it, to each of us. Many of you, upon probably hearing the words of the title, immediately thought of the Christmas carol, which goes, "Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea." This is a relatively recent Christmas carol in that it was not written until October of 1962, so it's just shy over 50 years of age. That's relatively young when we think about Silent Night and we think about, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem," okay, and all these other, you know, sentimental, romantic Christmas carols that to some degree have caused a glamorization of Christmas that has largely escaped what it is really all about. But this one is relatively new. The lyrics are written by Noel Regney and the music by his wife of that time, Gloria Shane Baker. Eventually, they divorced. This was somewhat unusual because normally their roles in songwriting were reversed. They were a husband and wife songwriting team. Usually, she would write the lyrics and then he would write the music, but this time it was reversed. Regney was inspired to write the lyrics after watching babies pushed in strollers on the sidewalks of New York City about that time. The song was especially poignant and very emotional to them at the time because they thought about the children referenced in the lyrics and how they would be severely affected and impacted if the looming Cuban Missile Crisis of that time actually evolved into all-out nuclear war. When they wrote this song, the Cuban Missile Crisis was an ordeal at the time, if you would. It was discovered that Cuba had missiles and that possibly they were going to press the button and cause nuclear all-out war. And for some of our young worshipers, this may seem all foreign to you, but for those of you young worshipers who have studied history and who paid attention in class and in school, you probably came across this particular teaching, okay? The song has literally sold tens of millions of copies and been covered by hundreds of artists. When the Lord brought this song to me and the impending revelatory implications of it for our young people, in light of our scripture passage for today, I was not aware of its history and especially the prominent place young people played in its history. however it now makes sense. I wonder if the young people of that day could hear all of the sound bites of that day. How did all of the sound bites of that day sound to them? See, sometimes people hear the same thing, but they listen differently. Sometimes people listen to the same thing, but they hear differently. Sometimes people hear things that no one else hears. And this is really often the case, especially if you are a musician and you're musically inclined. There are times I will hear melodies and they will just invade the space of my life wherever I am. You all have seen it happen, and we've just heard melodies right here in Worship Encounter while we were doing our premeditation prayer. And melodies have just come, and I've heard them. I'll be in the bathroom, I'll hear melodies. I'll be sitting at the office, I'll hear melodies. I'll be driving in the car, I'll hear melodies. I'll wake up in the morning while my precious wife is sleeping in the bed next to me with melodies. Sometimes people hear things that no one else hears. It's a positive thing, but sometimes it can be a troubling thing. Sometimes there are people who are beset about with emotional and mental problems, and they hear things that nobody else hears. Sometimes people listen in ways that others do not. There are many times a phrase is thrown out to a group of people sitting in a room, and you ask them, what did you hear? And you can get varied responses because sometimes we listen differently. Some of us listen and our entire bodies go into listening. We turn and we incline ourselves and our body language is such that we want to catch what's going on. Some of us listen in a reclining and relaxed position. Some of us listen in a position of indifference. We listen differently. Such is the case with the scriptural backdrop of today's message, 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 4 through 10. Our central characters, Samuel and Eli, were in the same environment, in the same situation, at the same time, but experienced the perception of their surroundings in different ways because of hearing and listening. Everyone say hearing and listening. Let's define hear and let's define listen for a moment so that we can all be on the same page. What does it mean to hear? It means to perceive, okay? And when we say perceive, we mean to become aware or conscious of something, to come to realize or understand, to interpret or look on something or someone in a particular way to regard as. That's what perceive is. So when we perceive with the ear the sound made by someone or something. When we hear, we are to be told or informed of something. When we hear, we listen or we pay attention to. Well, what does it mean to listen? To listen, it means to give one's attention to a sound. Sometimes you can be in a room with an individual and they can be speaking and you can hear them audibly, but you're not listening. Let's tell the truth and let's be a little candid here. There are times that it happens between husbands and wives. And the wife is speaking and she's speaking and you hear her, but you're not listening. And after a while, she's like, are you listening to me? You know, normally, you know, sometimes she won't say, did you hear me? Because she knows you can hear, but are you listening to me? And then the husbands will be, you know, caught with our hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, the proverbial cookie jar, and we'll have to not acknowledge, no, I was not listening. I heard, but I was not listening. Feel free to preach right along, okay? There's a story told when I was a young lad, about 5 years of age. My mom went to see my kindergarten teacher. I believe it was Miss Gruff. That was her name when we lived upstate in Newburgh, New York. And I was attending the Montgomery Street School. And my mom tells a very interesting story. And she went to talk to Miss Gruff to see how I was doing. I was in kindergarten to get an update on my status. And I got a very good report. I was probably the best child my mother had. I was probably, you know, I was the oldest, and I was very disciplined. She'll tell you, you know, I gave her, I think, the least amount of trouble. Well, one of the reasons why, because I was terrified and petrified, because my mother was and is crazy. Okay, you have to excuse her. She raised six boys and one girl by herself, so she had to be. You know, when we got to be a certain age, she would stand up on the chair and whip us. Because we were taller, and she wanted to have eye contact, and she wanted to be sure that, you know, the instrument of her wrath connected in a certain way. And you better not run. She was a tough woman, man, tough. But she had to, and see, those who knows that she still is. She right now, she wants to get a piece of someone who she felt mistreated me. Right now. She says, I'm ready, I got my hands on my walker, and I want to step to him. And I had to tell him, let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord handle it. It's going to be all right. And I could see her with the walker just one up there. What'd you do to my child? So anyway, I was very, 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 very disciplined. And, you know, even when I was a child, like about 3 months of age, I got ready to take off crying. And this a lady told this in church. She actually told me. I got ready to take off crying. My mother put her finger up like this, and I sucked up and shut right up at 3 months of age. It's a true story. So my mother went to this teacher's conference, and she was talking to the teacher, and the teacher gave a report, and everything was fine. And then the teacher said to my mother, do you have any questions? She said, yes, I do. She says, I think Darren is hard of hearing. She says, well, what do you mean, mother? She says, well, there'll be times I will call Darren, and I know he hears me, but he will ignore me and act like he doesn't hear me, so I'm wondering if he's having a hearing problem. So my mother says it was a large room because back in those days, kindergarten was large classes and things were set up a little bit differently. She said it was a large room full of children, and I was way on the other side of the room. And my mother said, the teacher said, he's hard of hearing? She says, yes, I think he's hard of hearing. So my mother said to the teacher, in a very small, still voice, said, Darren, get up and go to the bookshelf and take a book out of there and read it for me. My mother said, instantly, immediately, I stood up and did exactly what the teacher told me to do. My mother said, she watched in astonishment that I was way across the room. There had to be other noises taking place that would have impeded the sound because it was so small. Way across the room. I have good hearing. It's a part of being a good musician, okay? Way across the room, I heard this teacher in almost a whisper give me the instructions. And the teacher looked at my mother in her expression of astonishment, and she said to her, it's a wonder I didn't get the daylights whipped out of me that day. The teacher said to her, Mother, you're yelling at him. And he's tuning you out. He hears you very well. Sometimes parents, and especially those of you who are raising boys, it's not that they can't hear you, they just don't like the way you're talking to them. Now, it applies for girls as well. And this generation is slick. Okay? Oil slick. Because they have heard all these diagnoses about ADD and HDD and DDD and SDD and all. And so now they know how to turn on or act in a role and act like they got some kind of disorder and get a diagnosis to get them out of hot water. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, okay? You can have all the disorders you want, but I got order for the disorder.
Amen.
Okay, let me get on back to the message here. Okay, so give attention. Listen, give one's attention to a sound. Take notice of and act on what someone says. Respond to advice or requests. Make an effort to hear something. Be alert and ready to hear something. This is listening. When we say listen, we use it to urge someone to pay attention. You're going to listen to me. We urge them to pay attention to what one is going to say. The word listen as a noun is an act of listening to something. It's important for us to understand some basic information, background about the central characters of our lesson for today. And that understanding is going to be foundational for us to successfully apprehend what God is saying to us as he asks this question to our young people and to the rest of us. Do you hear what I hear? First, there's Samuel. Samuel is the young ministry apprentice to Eli, who was dedicated to God's service from his mother Hannah's womb. Now, you have to read the backdrop, the previous chapters, to get the essence of what's going on here. But Hannah was barren, and that was not so good back in those days. That was a socially disfavorable stigma that a woman could have when she could not bear children, especially in Jewish culture, because what it was saying is you were not doing your part to participate in the coming forth of the Messiah. And they did not know who he was going to be birthed through. So any woman who did not bear children was considered someone who was denying the Messiah. Never mind she may have had some physical problems and could not do so. Never mind that maybe the man was the issue, because he didn't have an issue. Okay. See me later. If you didn't catch it, see me later. Okay. And so she cried out to God. She cried out to God. And God heard her. Oh, that's a message. Cry out to God and he will hear you. And God gave her this son. And Hannah gave him back to God as a fulfillment of the promise she made if he would bless her with a son. So at the beginning of the background of our text in chapter 3, Samuel is a young lad serving in the temple of the Lord God as a result of the promise, and he's gaining training for the fulfillment of his calling to serve God as prophet and judge and ministering to his people. Now we have Eli. Eli is the old senior minister in charge of ministry operations at the temple of the Lord. He is a direct descendant of Aaron, the high priest, brother of Moses, and as such, Eli inherits his calling because of his divine designation as being a part of Aaron's line, who have been divinely designated as perpetual priests of God to serve his people throughout all of the experience of Israel. So Eli was a priest. Eli's sons are priests too. But they abuse and desecrate the sacred office of the priest to the point where God pronounces judgment upon them and severely rebukes and judges Eli for leniently indulging them and not correcting them, thereby holding them accountable. So Eli was the old preacher. His sons was the young preachers. And let me just paint the picture for you in language that we can understand. When the women would come into the church to bring their offerings of praise and sacrifice and money, because the priest was the one who had to receive your offering, or the preacher, if you would, had to receive your offering in order for it to be acceptable. So when they would come in, they would tell them, well, first of all, there's a share I want to go into my pocket. And then if I'm going to accept the rest of it, you got to sleep with me. They were male whores in the house of God. Gigolos. And they were priests. And more than likely, they were, matter of fact, not more than likely, they were married, because one of them, when the judgment dropped, she gave birth to one of their sons and she named him Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. We don't want Ichabod written over this church. Amen. And Eli knew this was going on and he didn't correct them. Parents, we have a responsibility to correct our children. Amen. Okay? Amen. She's very cute. She's beautiful. And I understand that. But if you don't correct her, she's going to grow up to be somebody very ugly. Yes, that's true. Personality, temperament, her ways. Oh, Lord. Okay? When I was coming up as a young man, I dated some women who were physically beautiful, but they were ugly. Because of the way they acted. And when I got to a point where I was no longer enamored with their physical beauty, then I began to see them as being someone ugly because of their ways. He may be very handsome. He may remind you of your baby daddy and all that kind of good stuff. But if you don't deal with him, or he may remind you of his mama too. But if you don't deal with him, you're going to make him someone very repulsive. Children learn boundaries. They learn boundaries based upon what we do as parents in the home with them. Amen. They get a sense of check and balances just by us knowing, interacting with them, letting them know, no, you cannot go there. Amen. I had a little situation last night with one of mine. Okay, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, because I want to put them on blast and blast them, you know, blow them up. But, you know, a little something happened, and I gave him the look like, yo, you don't want to go here today. I'm the thug pastor. They didn't tell you, I'm the thug pastor. You know, there's some of it down in there. I let them know. And the reason why, because I'm training them for husband time.
Amen. Amen.
To let them know there's a certain way you're not going to be able to do him. So you get practice with your daddy. Because, see, I don't want you calling me when you get married and telling me he did something. We have a problem. And I have 8 brothers. So I can back my stuff up. And they love their nieces. Okay? But then it's not going to be good for me to go after him and you did something to him. So I'm teaching them now checks and balances. And Eli did not teach his sons checks and balances. Well, Pastor, they were grown men. He couldn't stop them. Maybe, but he could have removed them from the office of the priesthood. He could have said, you can't be preachers anymore. Okay? Checks and balances. So this is the setup of what's going on. This is what's happening. Now, this pronouncement of judgment evidently becomes a critically essential piece falling into place that becomes a catalyst for the pivotal event of our lesson, which is the formal initialization and ordination of Samuel's call into ministry. So now when God drops judgment on Eli, now that's the piece now that comes into place for God to now call Samuel to his ministry as prophet and judge. You with me?
Yes.
Let's take a look at some things here. Let's do some comparisons. We have Samuel and we have Eli. Samuel was promised to God prior to his birth. Eli is a descendant of family ministry. Okay, Samuel is the young ministry apprentice. Eli is the older seasoned ministry veteran. Samuel is prophet judge. Eli is priest judge. Samuel's immediate family served God. Okay, Eli's immediate family mocked God. Watch that. Okay, Samuel announced judgment. Eli received judgment. When you read the succeeding verses afterwards, and Eli said, well, tell me what he said. Eli got the same message of judgment that he received in the second chapter, okay? So Samuel announced judgment. Eli received judgment. Samuel was new to God's voice. Eli was numb to God's voice. Yeah, I don't know about you, but if I got a choice between numbness and newness, God, let me have newness. Let me have a freshness about your voice. Let me encounter your voice in a fresh way every day. But some of us are numb to the voice of God. It's dangerous to get numb to the voice of God, okay? Sometimes young people, you know you get numb to your parents' voices. Oh, there go mommy again, going in. They're going in. Young people, I'm talking to you today, okay? I'm talking to you. It's a little tight, but it's going to get better. Just stick with me, all right? Maybe if I loosen up my tie, y'all go, oh, he said amen. Did he say amen? Amen. Michael, amen. Amen. Well, you know you get numb to your parents' voices. Some of you have us clocked when you see us move a certain way. Oh, I know which way this is going, and you tune out. Some of them grinning, and some of them looking straight ahead because they don't want their stuff to be on blast. You know. And just like our young people do us, that's how some of us do God.
That's right.
You know enough about God to practice numbness. That's a dangerous place to be numb to God. God, don't let me get numb to you. Samuel represented generation next. Eli represented generation now. Samuel was generation next. Watch that. Eli was generation now. These factors are critical to note because they begin to unveil a picture of comprehension as to how and perhaps why things progressed the way they did in this chapter. So Samuel is basically minding his business, young people, on an evening that is, as far as we can see, uneventful. It's just a basic evening. It's just like Kimberly coming in from working all day, having worked for AHRC, and then went and did her part-time job at the cleaners as she is amassing and accumulating her funds to buy her first car. Bless her little bones. Okay? Accumulate your insurance money too. Okay? Accumulate your gas. Accumulate your maintenance costs. accumulate. But it would be like her coming in from one of those days having worked, and a young girl, she works hard. I'm so proud of her, yes. Her daddy. I'm so proud. She works hard. Okay. And Miss Adara has worked very, very hard. She graduated 2 Mondays ago. Yes. Amen. So it'd be like an eventful day. Kimmy Lee coming in from work, Adara coming in from school, and they lay down in their bed, and God speaks. And he speaks. Suddenly God's voice disrupts the routine, catapulting Samuel to a new dimension in his life. And that word dimension is going to be very key for us in 2014. Remember that. Catapulting him to a new dimension. Samuel hears the voice, but does not yet know who is speaking. So he does what we often do when we are trying to navigate and mitigate the unfamiliar. What do? We resort to the familiar. When we come into contact with the unfamiliar, we resort to the familiar. Some young people, some of y'all are familiar with dating. But when you come to a new stage in terms of who you're dealing with, and it's unfamiliar territory to you, what do? You resort to the familiar. Case in point, when you get to the place where you're tired of dating and now you're looking to be married, well, marriage is going to be unfamiliar to you. But you know you got to meet a guy or you got to meet a fellow, whatever, in order for you to. So what do? If you're not ready to make a shift in the kind of people you date, you resort back to the jokers or jokettes you used to date. It's real quiet in this here Episcopalian church. Real quiet. And that's what we do. When we come into contact with the unfamiliar, we resort to the familiar. Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord. He knew a voice, but he didn't know the voice of the Lord. That's a message. So what does he do? He hears this voice, and he goes to Eli. Why did he go to Eli? Well, think about it. There's a history between him and Eli. He's used to hearing Eli's voice in the things of God. Eli is training him in a ministry setting. And he hears Eli tell them, this is how you greet first-time guests. This is how you do the opening verse. Okay? Timeliness is godliness. Okay? Lateness is a curse. Timeliness is a blessing. Okay? As we're ministering to our young people. So he's used to all these things. This is how you stand when you handle the communion. This is how we do praise and worship. We minister unto God as we minister unto his people. It's not just about our favorite songs, but it's about the song that the Holy Ghost is calling for to break the yoke at that particular moment. You get the picture? Okay? If you're serving as a CRM, we need you to smile. Not frown. Okay? Leave the sour grapes in the jar. Okay? So he's used to hearing Eli's voice in the things of ministry. And so now here he is, because he stays and he sleeps in the church or at the temple. And now he hears this voice. Wait a minute, I'm in church. I'm going through ministry things and I hear this voice. Maybe it's Eli calling me. And he goes to Eli and says, here I am. Did you call me? Everything Samuel had heard concerning God up to that point had come through what? Eli. I believe he was sensing something instinctually, though, but he could not frame it explicitly because of what his experience had and had not been up to that point. So he goes to what he knows to understand what he doesn't know. Let me say that again. He goes to what he knows to understand what he doesn't know. But there's a problem. That which is familiar to him is unable to clarify that which is unfamiliar to him. That which is familiar to him is unable to clarify what is familiar to him. What is unfamiliar to him, excuse me. In acting upon his assumptions that Eli was the answer, he discovers that Eli is not. Here's the other side of the wrinkle, young people. The place where he's used to getting the answer is unable to help him out as well at first. He went to Eli three times. I heard this voice. Eli has no clue what it's all about. I did not call you. He went to Eli three times. Do you hear what I hear? And it was on the fourth time that Eli began to understand what may be happening here. This seasoned experienced ministry veteran in the things of God finally realized what was going on and guided Samuel as to how to hear and listen for what was going on. There's a lesson from this. As the Spirit of God began to arrest me about this passage some time ago, I perceived that he wanted me to talk to our young people, the young worshipers of Generation Next, about the things you all are hearing. Hearing is one of the most critically foundational senses of our experience in life. It is possible to experience and enjoy certain dimensions of life without hearing or being hearing impaired. However, if you have the opportunity to engage someone who was hearing impaired or they could not hear at all, and then they experience the miracle of hearing or their hearing being corrected, they will tell you that the two experiences are significantly different in many ways. You can't even compare them. Well, just as it is physically, anatomically, tangibly, so it is spiritually, mentally, intangibly. Young people, I have become aware of the sound bites that you all are hearing in our world today. There are so many different sound bites that you all are being barraged with. There are the sound bites of competing warring cultures. It's evident with the recent uproar with Duck Dynasty and Phil Robertson. There was all kinds of sound bites about that. There's still all kinds of sound bites about it. Okay? And basically, the man said homosexuality is a sin. That's all he said. As a result of being asked his opinion. Okay? He offered, as a result of being asked from his perspective, what he encountered coming up in the swamps of Louisiana. He never said black people don't suffer. He didn't say that. He said, where I was, this is what happened. Did you all read? Did you do complete study and read everything surrounding it? But because there is a force at work in this culture to destroy godliness, they seized upon it and thought that they were going to crucify him. And lo and behold, oop, wrong answer. The script got flipped. And all of a sudden, people who were not Christians cried foul and said, if you don't bring back the duck, you're going to be quack, quack, quack. You know, I'm just adding a little humor to it. It's not like that, but you know me, because some of y'all are looking at me like, ugh. So I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit, okay? Okay. And Cracker Barrel, they jumped on it, Twitter jumped on it, and all of them ran for cover because people said, no, enough is enough. Okay? Here you go. Let me tell you how bad it was. There is a well-known lesbian activist who's considered to be one of the individuals who's at the top of the spectrum intellectually in our culture. She came out against A&E the way they treated Phil Robertson. So the point I'm making to you is you all are hearing all of this. You're hearing all these sound bites. You're hearing things at home. There are things you're not hearing at home that you should be hearing. All right. You're hearing things in school. Yes. The music you're listening to.
Oh, Lord.
You're hearing things. Not only the beats and the lyrics, but the subliminals, the subs. That's a big word in our culture. The subs that's being coming across. Let me explain something to you, young people. You got to understand, when you listen to an artist, you're listening to everything about that artist. Because who that artist is goes into making that music. And you'd be surprised some of the stuff they've done and some of the stuff they're doing in order for them to do what they do. And you are partaking of all of that. As a musician, I can tell you. And it's not just secular artists. It's some of the ones that's supposed to be sacred too. Okay? You got some, I guess they call them Christian artists or whatever. You know, Christian artists or religious, you know, whatever. Gospel artists, you know, whatever they.
Lord have mercy.
Come on.
Lord have mercy.
You would be shocked at what they're doing. It's a business for them, and they're making money. So I don't want to give the impression that I'm just harping on secular artists across the board. You need to understand what you're hearing. You're hearing things in school. Some of our college students, you know, you go to your classes, and some of your professors, they're whacked, right? You know, I remember Dara, you know, had a few religion classes, and she would come home and she would have a headache because she would like, Daddy, can you believe this is what they're teaching? Okay? It was one particular class, and a lady thought she was so smart, and one of her classmates, he was like 20 years old, and he would just fire her up every day. She would say something, oh, that's not what the Bible says. And he would take her to task. And she would try to come back, and he was like, no, 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 no. And he wouldn't even pull out the Bible. He would just start quoting it. No, 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 this is what it says. And he would say, no, no, no. And he would rebuke her. And she would have to run with her tail tucked in between her pants. You're hearing all kinds of things on the college campuses. You're hearing things in your schools. And see, there's different ways that you hear. Because you'll see things, and then what you'll see, you begin to process in your mind the message that comes as a result of what you're seeing. And so now you start hearing what you're seeing. You're hearing all kinds of things. You're hearing things politically. You're hearing things socially. You hear all kinds of things. Now Facebook has videos, live videos. Okay? Where you can go right into your feed and look at a video right there. You don't have to now do a link to YouTube. I saw a video on a feed, and I was like, what in the devil is that? Some girl was doing pole dancing in one of the subway cars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, she looked like a hot mess. And I'm like, what? How many of our young people are hearing this as they're watching this? And so what happens is, now here we go. This is the connection between you and Samuel. You all are hearing this stuff, but also along with this stuff, God is speaking to you as well. And so now you're trying to process all these different sound bites and figure out, well, what is right? What is truth? What is the way that I'm supposed to be going? And so now you go to the places that you're used to going to get the answers. And lo and behold, we do not hear what you hear. Do you hear what I hear? Some of you are hearing revelations. You're hearing prophecies. You're hearing solutions. You're hearing questions, but you're also hearing the answers. And then some of us in my generation have given you the impression, because we've been hanging around God and we've been doing this or whatever, we've been giving you the impression that we know what you're hearing. And you go to us, and guess what? We can't hear what you hear. There's a whole different way y'all process stuff because of the way you hear. What is hearing? What is hearing? In the natural, hearing is the outer ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. There's three stages to hearing. The outer ear is designed to capture the sound and to begin to funnel it. Okay? And then the middle ear starts the process of dialing it down, refining it. And then the inner ear is where perception takes place. It is because of the inner ear that sends the signal and the sound that I'm able to discern the difference between a piano and a guitar. It is because of the inner ear that I can know the difference between when my wife is talking and Adara is talking, even though their wavelengths are similar because they come from the same stock. My spiritual inner ear, if I have developed it properly, allows me to discern when God is talking as opposed to when the devil is talking. Because sometimes the devil will say things that will sound godly, but it's not God. You don't believe it? Read Luke, the 4th chapter. And see, he said things to Jesus that sounded godly, but they were not God. Well, how do I know the difference? If you get the word of God in you, then you will discern when things are not God, or they may just be some kind of godly. So Jesus said, no, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. So now, young people, the question is, do you hear what I hear? Some of you are walking around with stuff happening in your head. And I'm not saying that to say it negatively to make you seem like you're crazy or something, but some of you are processing. Many of you are thinkers. And you're looking at what's going on in this world. And it's crazy. And you're trying to find, how can I make sense of this? And you're going to the Elis, and the Elis are jacked up. The Elis can't help you. You know why they can't help you? Because they are under judgment themselves. There it is in 2 Samuel. They have been canceled out. God has canceled them. See, you know why Eli didn't know what was going on? Because he was under judgment. He was numb. He had already been removed from the things of God. Young people, you need to learn. You need to learn and understand those who can help you and those who cannot. So then, do you hear what I hear? I hear my parents. They come across one way, but I hear something different. And I'm trying to go to people because I hear God differently. What do I do? What do I do? Do you hear what I hear? If we look closely at this particular passage of scripture, we get the answer to this question. First of all, young folks, when we look at our passage, here's the first thing we need to understand. Samuel was just laying down, going to sleep, and God spoke to him. What does that mean? You don't have to work yourself up into a frenzy and be on pins and needles, be mystical, be spooky, or make yourself into some weirdo doing strange things for God to speak to you. You don't have to swing from the chandeliers. You don't have to You don't have to do all of that.
Amen.
I know you see people doing that. Jess is laughing. I know you see people doing it, but you don't need. That's not. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, we are given a story of how Elijah ran from Jezebel. And there was these three big events: whirlwind, mountains. Split in two, earthquakes and all this kind of stuff. And he thought that was God, but it wasn't God until a gentle whisper. God will speak to you at the most simplest, basic times of your life.
Yes.
And if young people, if you get quiet, just put down the PS4 for a few minutes and the Xbox One. Just put it down for a few minutes. Okay? You know your iPads, you know yourself. Put iPhones. Well, I don't like iPhones. You know, smartphone, your galaxies, your notes, you know, your stun guns, your personal fax machines, whatever. Put it down for a few minutes, and just get quiet, and you'll hear the voice of the Lord, and you'll begin to unlock this question: does anybody hear what I hear? Okay. Now, here's the next thing. We now know that Samuel didn't know. We now know what Samuel didn't know because his exploratory experience to that point had been limited. But now, based on what happened to Samuel, we can get some benefit from this, young people, okay? When you are hearing something, say, when I'm hearing something.
When I'm hearing something.
Young people, say, when I'm hearing something. Say it louder. I know you can talk louder than that. I hear you. You get on your phones with your friends. It's hard. You know that. No. Young people say, when I hear something, Can y'all do a little bit better than that? Okay. Oh, okay. Louis said, when you say young people. Okay. Okay, the young worshipers, those of you in the back there, okay? You know who you are, all right? I want to hear you. When I hear something. Okay. I'm going to start serving y'all breakfast when y'all come in here because y'all are just sluggish. Okay. They're clapping. Oh, see? Oh, look at this. Okay. I hear it, yeah. When you hear something, ask yourself these questions. Young people, ask yourself these three questions. Number one, do I recognize the sound of what I'm hearing? Can I distinguish what it is? Okay. Is this a male voice? Is this a female voice? In Numbers, the 10th chapter, God gave specific instructions for how to sound the trumpet when it was time for church and when it was time for war. Okay? Do I recognize this as a trumpet? Number two, young people, ask yourself, do I recognize the source of where this is coming from? Do I recognize the source? See, there are some things and some people that are speaking to you that should not be speaking to you. Oh, God. Oh, God. There's some stuff and there's some folk you should not be listening to. And then there's some people and there's some things that you should be listening to. And you can say whatever you want to say. We all make decisions based on what we hear. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Some of us get diagnosed by doctors. And we make a decision based on what the doctor tells us. And some of us realize, well, know what? I better get a second opinion. Because what I heard doesn't sound right. You with me? So do I know the sound? Do I recognize the source? And number three, do I understand the signal? Because every sound that comes to you from a particular source is signaling to you something that you should do. It was a signal from God to Samuel, it is time for your ministry to start. Number four, young people, if the answers are not clear, make sure you direct the question properly. Ask God. Amen. Ask God. God, is this you speaking? Amen. And guess what? He will talk back. Okay. Here's the next thing we need to understand about Samuel. Okay. People who have been in your circle before and have been a source of answers are not necessarily automatically qualified to be so now. Young people, you need to recognize when your circle is changing. And you used to get answers, and this used to happen, and that used to happen, but it ain't happening no more, excuse the Ebonics. Because you've outgrown them, you've outgrown that situation, they've changed, you're going in a different direction, and you need to recognize the difference. Eli was no longer qualified to operate to that extent in Samuel's life. Number four. Don't be intimidated or frustrated because you're unsure, unfamiliar, or uninitiated. You have to start somewhere. Young folk, take the pressure off of you that you think you have to know everything. Amen. Take that pressure off. Okay. You don't have to know everything. Let me apologize to you because my generation, the generations ahead of us, unfortunately have done things to you to make you grow up a little bit quicker than you should have. So subsequently, you've taken on this persona and this attitude of thinking, well, I know this. I got this. No, you don't. God told me to tell you. Okay? You can't know it. You just got here. I'm 50 and a half. Now it's officially 50 and a half. Okay? Okay? I'm 50 and a half. And there's still some stuff I'm learning. And can I give you a little secret, young people? Let me give you a little secret. The longer you stay around, the more you begin to realize, the less you know. Now, I'm trying to help you. I'm giving you the benefit of some things. Because, see, this will help you. See, this will take the pressure off. See, when you come to realize there's just some stuff you don't know, there's some things you just will not do. It's okay to be unsure. It's okay to be unfamiliar. It's okay to be uninitiated. Take the pressure off. I wish I knew now as a parent what I knew when we first got started. I wish. Young people, those of you who haven't had children yet and you're thinking about having children, okay, there's a wisdom that's available to you. There's no book for parenting. There's no manual. Okay, it does not exist. Sorry. But there is a source of unlimited wisdom to help you not make mistakes, and that's God Almighty. God will even show you the way to burp your baby. Your baby, not somebody else's baby, your baby. He will show you. He will give you the wisdom. I need a real young one. Caleb, you want to help me out? Come help me. Oh, okay. Okay. We're going to need a real young one. Young one. Who we get? Okay. No, he's these two. No, someone I want to hold. No. Okay. No. My back is feeling good. We're not going backwards here. Okay. Caleb, you coming? Come on, Caleb. Come on, man. Okay, well, let's pretend. Okay? All of mine are practically grown, but I still remember. I want to show you something. Okay? So, if you, okay, that's good. Let's just say he just ate, okay, and he just had a bottle and he needs to burp. He's a little bit big, but we imagination here, okay. I could do him like that, the burping, but then some you have to do like this, and you'll get the same effect. After a while, they'd be like, I don't want to be gross. I want to be gross, but you got it, okay. Thank you very much. God will give you wisdom, young people. Ask him. You got things in your head that's spinning around that's troubling you? Ask God. Don't go off on your own tangent. Don't go to other folk. They're just as clueless as you are. No. I'm serious. And you're going to them, and, well, do you hear this? Do you hear this? And they're looking at you like you're crazy. Here's the next thing, young people, I want you to understand. God called Samuel 3 times. You know what that means? He didn't give up on God, and he didn't give up on himself. He didn't give up on God, and he didn't give up on himself. He kept coming after God. Young people, don't you give up on God and don't you give up on yourself.
Amen.
You're not a lost cause.
Amen.
It's not hopeless.
Amen.
Okay? I don't want to hear this. You know, sometimes we are subjected to some horrible things. We're told some horrible things. No. It's a lie. If you hear that you'll never amount to anything, that's a lie.
That's a lie.
And as a matter of fact, young folks, if something or someone is telling you that, that's the enemy trying to fake you out because he knows you are going to become something. And he's petrified, horrified, terrified of what you're going to become because he knows it's going to cause him a problem. Here's the next thing, young people. There are people in your life that God intentionally, deliberately, and specifically blocks from being connected to your calling, purpose, plan, and destiny. God intentionally cuts him off. Discern when that's what he's doing and discern those whom he's doing it with. He had cut Eli off. Eli wasn't supposed to hear. He was not supposed to hear. If Eli had heard, he would have got in the middle of it and messed it up. I made a mistake with my wife and I, our engagement, because I went to some folk who didn't hear what I heard. You ain't gonna go there. Okay. They didn't hear what I heard. And I heard clearly. Brother Anthony, I heard God instruct me very clearly about what to do with this engagement. And I went to them. You know, they were spiritual. They had experience. They had the anointing. And so I figured they were. And I went to them and told them what God said. God didn't say that. And I followed them, and I got in trouble. They didn't hear what I heard. There's some messages that are specifically for you. God is not going to let anybody else hear it. It's between you and him. He doesn't want anybody else to hear it. It's not anybody else's business. It's between you and him. And here's my last point. I'm going to close. Unconditionally yield to God. Unconditionally. Don't come to God and like, well, you know what? If you do this, I'll do this. You know what the Lord said to me this week? He said, if you put me on trial, you better be ready for the verdict. Don't go to God like that. Come to him unconditionally. Samuel said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Young people, I know you got stuff going through your head. There's all kinds of things you're wrestling with. Not only stuff that you hear, but stuff that you see. Stuff that you feel. And you want to know, does anybody care? Does anybody understand? Does anybody get it? And months ago, God started talking to me to send me to tell you, he gets it. He hears. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you to come and talk to him. Take the pressure off your parents. Some of us have a little bit too much unreasonable expectations on our parents. And they're doing the best that they can. They're human beings. They're flawed. F-L-A-W-E-D. Okay, they're not perfect. Amen. Maybe a little crazy, but not perfect. Okay, a little crazy. And you have to ask yourself, did you help make them crazy?
I hear you.
That say help. Because, you know, if they're like me, they came to the table crazy. I came to the table crazy, okay? You don't have to be frustrated about what you're hearing. Now, here we go. Let me say this. Some of you are frustrated about what you're not hearing. You're not hearing affirmation. You're not hearing encouragement. You're not hearing constructive things and being told positive things. God wants you to know you're all right, too. You're all right, too. I have learned that strong people don't need a lot. And if there's some things you want to hear, if there's some things you want to know, and that's not coming, it's probably a signal of you are right. Don't let the enemy fake you out. See, young people get into stuff because they're trying to navigate what they're dealing with, what's going on internally. There's not anything wrong with them that they want to get hooked on drugs. They just hear and see something, and they're trying to make sense of it. They don't get hooked in illicit sex. Because they're bad, they're hearing something, they're sensing something, and they're trying to navigate it. And in this church, we want to commit ourselves to helping them to unlock whatever mysteries there need be. We need to learn that sometimes we can't say anything, we just got to pray. Okay? And then, when it's time for us to speak, Lord, word our mouths. And let's do this thing together. Young people, can you work with us? Can y'all work with us? They're looking at me like, no. Can y'all work with us? Can we do this thing together? Can we? Can we? Can we? I'm being real now, and this is right. Okay? Okay. Pastor said you're thinking about it. Okay, I can work with that. Okay? Go home and marinate with this message. And from this day forward, understand this. You don't have to be frustrated about anything that's going on internally with you anymore, because God's got you.